He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus has always been a fundamental article of the Christian faith. The inspired apostle St. Paul says to the Corinthians, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, our faith is in vain, and we are still in our sins. Jesus predicted both his death and resurrection. Had he not risen from the dead, he would be a false prophet, and there would be no reason for us to be here now. But he has risen from the tomb. And in his resurrection, we see God's testimony to the world that death could not hold him in the grave. He is the God of the living, not the dead. The sins have been paid for, all of them. And he exits the tomb with an incorruptible body, free from death, exalted and glorified before the Father. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is God's declaration of life for a dying world. In Christ, there is life beyond the tomb. Sin that kills does not confine the baptized believer to the earth, and you are not banished from God, but forgiven and declared holy in his sight by faith in the resurrected Christ. Such glorious promises are always received by faith. Yet faith in this life is never alone. Our flesh is stubborn, and the temptation to doubt these things besieges every human being. Even the women who knew Jesus well come to the tomb expecting a body, and who could blame them? Jesus had died a shameful, gory death at the crucifixion. The guards were so sure he was dead, they didn't even bother to break his legs. The women saw the corpse, and they expected it on the first day of the week when they arrive at the tomb. But they don't find a body. They encounter an angel of the Lord who says, "He has risen as he said." Those words by the angel, "as he said," reminded these trembling women that the resurrection was no surprise. Jesus had foretold his resurrection many times, but they were still expecting a body. He said he would rise. They should not have been awestruck by the empty grave. Let's not put confidence in ourselves to think we would have known better. We would be no different than the women at the tomb. In every human being, there is the proclivity to doubt God's promises because every human being is afflicted with sin, and with sin creeps in doubt, and with doubt comes fear. We get afraid when money is tight. We get afraid when that sickness lingers and gets worse. We get afraid of those sins that pester us, you know, the ones that keep you up at night. We get afraid of bad weather, tyrannical governments and leaders. We get afraid at hearing about persecution befalling the church. We get afraid of death. There is fear over standing before God and hearing what he might say about you. The women were exceedingly afraid when they see the angel of the Lord who makes guards like dead men. Yet the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." That alleluia is our shout of praise unto our God for his saving work of raising Jesus from the dead and giving life to sinners. Do not be afraid. Instead, we say alleluia. Praise be to God for giving us every reason not to be afraid, but rejoice in his promises that say, not even death is a barrier to life with him. When the women depart at the angel's command to go and tell the disciples, they run into Jesus, who says to them, "Greetings." They worship and hold his feet, and again he says, "Do not be afraid." The crucified one is risen from the dead. His divine nature and majesty are on full display as God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, announces to the world his victory over sin, death, and even the devil. Hence the reason we have no reason to fear. Even death is defeated. And that victory belongs to the baptized believer. No more sickness, no more disease, no more pain, no more old age. All the effects and consequences of sin are no more at the resurrection of the body, when God's people too possess that incorruptible body free from sin. In the epistle lesson, Paul writes to the Colossians and he says, "You have been raised with Christ. You have been raised with Christ." This is not just a future promise, but also a present reality. You have been raised. Already you live in the resurrection because you live in Christ who is raised from the dead and has ascended to the Father's right hand. This means you are already alive to God and have no need to fear death. But if you are wondering how these promises, how does the gospel belong to you? How do you have these rich and wonderful things despite all of your sins, all of your mistakes, and all of your failings? The answer is quite simple. The righteous live by faith. The women at the tomb had faith, even as they doubted and were afraid. But they believed in Jesus and rejoiced when they saw him. Even our best intentions are soiled with sin, but faith is always the gift of God. It doesn't come from our minds and hearts, but God supplies this gift. Numerous times in the Gospels, we see people hearing Jesus preach and teach, and by hearing his mighty word, faith is kindled and they believe. Faith always receives Jesus, and with him his merits and benefits, including his resurrection from the dead. So when I say, as he lives, you also live, because your life is in him, believe it. Even if your life is a wreck, and the sins of your past haunt you, repent of it all and believe in the crucified one who is risen from the dead. When you come to church, you hear this message, the call to repentance and faith in the resurrected Christ. As the women at the tomb needed to be reminded of Jesus' word, so do we. We forget easily the comfort of the gospel, and our sins make for a great burden that weighs us down and despair of who we are. But Jesus' words, "Do not be afraid," are his words to you. As you live your life in him by the faith he supplies, this is why you have no need to be afraid, because you have been adopted into sonship with God. He has made you his in baptism and promises never to leave or forsake you. We should all pray that God keeps us mindful of these things, that we set our minds on things above and not get caught up in the cares of the world that lead to anxiety and fear. We should pray that when a loved one dies in Christ, the vivid picture of death that we see when gazing at the casket does not turn away our hearts and minds from the glorious promise of the resurrection. We should pray that God keeps us hearing his word as often as we can, that we don't slip away thinking there is no hope at death, because we have heard here this morning there is hope. You have hope, every reason to believe your Savior is good to his every last word. He said he would rise, and he says you will rise on the last day. Your sickness, pain, and chronic ailments are always temporary. Your flesh, ravaged by sin that causes all sorts of problems daily, will be no more when Christ appears to take you to himself. Sin is truly once and for all separated from you at the resurrection of the body, and it's all because of Jesus and his saving work to die and rise in triumph, a victory that he freely gives to you. Let us always pray that we hold on to these things and not be given over to fear, but sing alleluia to the God of our salvation, who has paid for our sin, all of it, and he has neutralized the sting of death. And one day, dear Christian friends, you will take his church to be with himself. We're in the flesh. We shall sing alleluia forevermore. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.